I wasn't too much tuning with the liturgist. I wasn't following the order of service somehow, and I was wrong. And I knew I was a little embarrassed. I was forgetting something. And a very well-dressed pastor was in the back. I wasn't well-dressed. I was very summer way, camping way. But he was very dressed, and he was trying to tell me something, and I wasn't getting. But he just forgot it. So remember, this is a dream, okay? I believe it's from the Lord, but it's a dream. And dream has things that are fantasies, that are message. And I forgot to sing a hymn. I forgot to follow the scriptures reading. But then there was a lady sitting that was supposed to be announced that she was going to do something, but I wasn't following the service order, so I didn't know she was there as a guest to tell something. And then the pastor says, "Now I have to interrupt you, Pastor. She's here to share before you preach." I said, "Oh, yes, by all means, sorry." End up that she said no word. She just stood, full of the Spirit. Beautiful lady, mature lady. I never knew her, I never see her. It was in my dream. And this lady that said nothing, didn't come even to the front, she just appointed to a crew, a group. And then I look at it, many kids. I paid attention to only one, but I knew there was a lot of kids. And this beautiful kid, maybe 2 to 4 years old, with closed fist, was doing something like a martial art. And then she was doing something like worshiping. And then she was sweeping the floor, and all of them were worshiping, fighting, sweeping the floor. And then I saw was what the name of the sweeping the floor? The broom became a rake. She was harvesting, and all kids full of the Holy Spirit. And then I got this understanding. These cross trainers are not only entertaining the kids, they are preparing an arm of the Lord. They are preparing, training, and pour out the Spirit of the Lord to the kids that is winning their generation. They are the force, the army of God for this nation, for the world, becoming the missionary around the world. I don't think it was only our kids, but I would believe these were our kids to start with. And my question is going to be, who are those that is going to impact these kids? Who are the parents who are going to pay the price for your kids? I'm not saying they are going to grow, and when they're going to get old, they are going to be full of the Spirit. Those kids were warriors, fighters already in their young age. That was a dream that impacted me because God put in my heart, we are responsible to impartake, to transfer, to teach, to impress, to model these kids, to be raised full of the Holy Spirit with power and knowledge to reach their lost and our lost generation. The scripture tells us that Jesus went up and the Holy Spirit came down. And he came down to stay with the church forever, to dwell and to strengthen the believers. In the same way that God sent the Son, now the Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, he is the one who sends the Spirit, the other comforter to stay with us. This means that the work of redemption is the work of God the Father, the work of God the Son, and the work of God the Holy Spirit. The Father planned His salvation, the Son performed salvation, and the Spirit applied salvation. None of us, neither myself and you, would be here today unless through the work of the Holy Spirit as well. There is no conversion on earth without the action of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can transform lives, free captives, and make a child of darkness into a child of life. Charles Hodge Spurgeon once said this: "It's easier for a lion to become a vegetarian, that I don't see is easy at all, than for a soul to be saved without the power of the Spirit." Let us learn some actions of the Holy Spirit today in order to have a powerful and impacting life. First, the Holy Spirit came to convince us, or convince man, of sin. And here I have in mind the sins that people are blind, the sin that make us not know who God is, the sin that is related with Adam and Eve, original sin, but also our daily life sins, unless the Spirit convinces us that we are wrong, that we are lack of, that we are not going the right direction, we're going to mess up. We won't praise God, we won't please God. So, the Holy Spirit came to convince man of sin. Who the Holy Spirit is. In order to understand His work, let me quickly, because I don't know who are here today. God knows, but we have to understand a little bit who He is. He's a person. He, not it. For many centuries, people took Him as it, as a force, as a thing, as only a power, strength. He's a person. In the Gospel of John that we just read, but chapters 14, 15, and 16 speaks about the Holy Spirit as He. All these chapters, He. Revelation 2, John says that He speaks. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." And He says it seven times for the seven churches, at least. Probably more. Listen what He says. You may think that because this is a more symbolic, a different book, a vision, apocalyptical revelation, maybe it's the style of the book. But Acts 13:2 says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called.'" So who said that? The Spirit. The Spirit speaks. The other day, just a commentary, a brother that is here and I were talking, and he was asking me, "Marcio, does the result of evangelism is the same in Brazil as in here?" I said, "No, it's not. Because even though I came from a very traditional church, a Presbyterian church, we were having 20, average of 20 baptisms every 4 months. And that was in a Presbyterian church. And then we talked, but how can that be? Isn't the way we are seeing here the same everywhere in the world?" I said, "No, especially in the South Hemisphere, that includes all South America, Africa, India, and Asia, something different is happening now, as has happened here centuries before." And one of the reasons I was talking to this brother is how much time we spend praying and fasting. Praying and fasting. That was not only for the early church, that is still updated today. I saw a picture a month ago. I that was used to it, I got shocked. A lady that I went to visit, a Brazilian lady visiting her daughter, they made a dinner for us, a supper for us. She showed, Pastor, look at this, what we called prayer connection on Monday night in a Presbyterian church in Pinheiros. It's a São Paulo city. Presbyterian church, Monday night praying. I says, no way. Let me see it. I tell you, old church, 500-600 seats, all the balcony, full of people. They are on their knees. I couldn't see their face because all of them in their knees for hours. Things change. Spirit speaks. Result comes. When they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, not eating and drinking, maybe for a day. But I told this brother, I knew people who would fast 20 days for me to start one day. And when they were in 20 days, they said, Pastor, we are for you. At the beginning, I didn't know they were 20 days fasting, only drinking water. But I would start with them, and then I would go a few days with them. And they would go over. I couldn't. Fasting and pray. He intercedes. Romans 8:26, Pastor Duane spoke. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. He testifies. John 15:26, we read it. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. He leads. Acts 8:29. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. We know after that, the eunuch converted, was baptized, and was sent back to Ethiopia, where we know the church was born later on, centuries or later. You may think that those only have happened that time. Does the Holy Spirit do the same today? Why not? Let me share with you. And normally I don't share these things because I don't want you to make my experience a rule. But I have to. It happened in 1985 when I was only 2 years and a half born-again Christian. I used to work in an air flight company. Sometimes I would go 14-day shift because when you get weekends on, then you can multiply your day off. So I would go sometimes 1 month, and then I would have 4 days off. So for me, it worked fine. So that was the weekend I had free. I could go home. I could enjoy life. I could eat better. I could sleep more. I could go to church that I loved. But when I was going away from the job, going home, the Spirit put in my heart a message. Go to Assisi. Assisi or Assis in São Paulo was a 5-hour trip by interstate bus. I am 22 years old, hungry, tired, thinking relaxing or even go to the beach that was only 1/2 hour away. Go to Assisi. Do what? I didn't hear anything. Go to Assisi. I went to Assisi. And I stayed there 3 or 4 hours in a bench sitting, not knowing what to do in Assisi. But I obeyed the Spirit. And then, not totally surprised, but surprisingly, one person knew me. But who can I know? Well, I went to Assisi once in my life. And this person that was a believer recognized me. He came to me, he knew my name. Marcio, what are you doing here? I said, I don't know. I was sent by the Spirit for a special task. And he says, oh, I know. I said, do you? Yes, it's in my home. I said, okay, let's go. Why? And then I was asked, oh, my father is atheist. He's not a believer. He's pin on neck, you know, this kind of thing. My mother is, but he's not. Okay, so I spent a few hours with them. I ate with them. I prayed with them. I shared the gospel with them. Then I look at him and says, he's not here. How do you know? I said, I don't know where, but I know he's not here. I've done the job, but it's not here. He says, okay. So he was my guessing guy. I know where it is. He says, do you? He said, I know. Okay. I didn't know, so whatever he was taking me to, it was good. I'm going to take you to the bar. Bar? I don't drink, man. You know, yeah, we don't. But the worst person I know in the city is on that bar. He's an atheist, Japanese, so only with these two things you think is very hard. Atheist, Japanese, artist, and painter. I say, what? Take me there. Make the long story short, or I won't preach the point two or three. I went. We talked for hours. He decided to take me to his parents' home. I went. His parents were very, very old. Because I was only 22, I thought they were 100 years old. Maybe they weren't, but for me, they were very old. They could barely speak Portuguese. They were those Japanese who came in the beginning of the century. Last century, not this century. And they understood. His mom had leper, or kind of leper. We have another name, Hansianese. I don't know if in English makes sense, but it's kind of leper. Maybe I'm here to heal her. I prayed. I asked oil. I put on her. I prayed for her. I preached the gospel. They all cried a lot. They sobbing. They were glad. They fed me. They were happy. It was already 7 or 8 at night. And I told them, I have to go home. I have to take the bus back, or else I'm going to lose my bus. And then things are going to be hard to me. They said, fine. But he says, but I have a suggestion. They said, tell us. Why don't I take you all to the church? They says, that's fine. Take us to the church or to a church. So I got that guy who took me there. Says, where is your church? Because you're going to be their missionary or pastor or whatever, discipler. Says, oh, my church is a Methodist. And actually, we have a service today. Says, great. That's what I need. What time? Kind of 8. Okay. We took them. I left them on the church. Later on, I heard they all received Christ in that service. 2 years later, when I was now doing mission abroad in England, I met someone from Assisi. And then I said, are you from Assisi or Assis? She says, yes, I am. Tell me something. She says, yeah. Is that a Japanese guy who is artist, painter, that I met? I probably knew his name that time. I don't remember. I says, do you know him? Oh, yeah. Do you? Yeah. What he's doing? Oh, he is an evangelist, one of the most effective evangelists in the city. How can it be? So I don't know. A crazy guy came, said some thinking. The rest is history. The Holy Spirit speaks, guides, take us, lead us. And I just obeyed. This atheist Japanese guy with his parents came to Christ. So the Holy Spirit commands us, he guides us, he appoints, he can be lied to, he doesn't need, he shouldn't be, but he is lied to, we see in the Acts of the Apostle. He can be insulted for some people, he can be blasphemed, he can be grieved. He is God, he is here, he is eternal, he is all-powerful, and he is the comfort, and so on. Who are we? Basic, if you don't know, if you haven't ever heard, because one day I didn't know. We are sinners. We fall short of the glory of God. We all have sin. Summarize, I just put other tests because we know so many others. We are sons of disobedience. David says, even before Christ, even before what we know, he says in Psalm 51, 1 to 5, though I took the liberty to put upside down 5 to 1, he says, surely I was sinful at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. That's how we came to this world. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. For I know my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. This is what David says, the king, anointed, a man's according to God's heart. Paul says in Romans, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So we were slaves of sins. Romans 3:10 says, as it's written, there is no one righteous, no one, even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. So with that said, and the role and work of the Holy Spirit, maybe once for all, some of us should weep for their sins or for our sins. And maybe if you have done that a few times, maybe it's time to do more, to do again, to repent again, to consecrate again. We must repent. We must have our minds changed by His actions. We have to understand the Holy Spirit is the one who does that. We have, in our response, to admit that I'm a sinner and I feel sorry for the fact that I have sinned. I have turned my back on my sins, reject them, Him. We must confess. We must come to Jesus with an open heart. All the time. So then, comes the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the work of the Holy Spirit is to convince man, according to the text we read before, the first one, man of sin, justice, and judgment. Sin, the text is clear and goes a little bit different than everything else that when explained about sin. Just say this. Sin because people do not believe in Him. Just the fact that not believing Jesus, according to the Bible, this text is sin. Just the fact that someone does not believe His existence is a red sin. Not acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior and Lord of the world is sin. If He is not our Lord, if He is not our Savior, it's sin. So that's what the Bible says. The world is judged and condemned. So they need the Spirit to be convinced. When He comes, He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. When does He come? Anytime. Anytime, any place. Maybe for some of us, like in my case, He showed up in a very strong, special moment in my 20s. For some people, He has come in many other times. But He came other times and He's still coming. Because He's like a wind. He blows. He goes everywhere. We never know when He comes from where to where. But when He also comes, He will convince us about those things. He comes also when one of us are His representative, so we can carry His Spirit, Jesus, in our heart for others. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can regenerate man and woman. No one can have new life in Christ without the regeneration of the Spirit. There is no better, wonderful school that is going to change a sinner in a well-educated, holy man. There is no such a thing. It's only the work of the Holy Spirit. So I would say that has to come with the gospel, the church, the discipleship. Don't send to your kids only to the best school in the world for him to get better, because he's going to maybe get worse. Because only the Holy Spirit can make somebody better. No one can have life without Christ, without regeneration of the Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can raise dead spiritually, take the heart of stone and give in a heart of flesh. Because the Holy Spirit is sovereign, He's God, He knows us. So, we know that the Holy Spirit came to convince man of sin. And secondly, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in us and seal us. Most writers will say that the Holy Spirit comes to live in us in the moment that I believe in Him. And I would say that this is the most safe belief. The moment that you were born again, or the moment that you repent, you regret, you confess, you receive the Spirit of the Lord. In some texts, this is the baptism of the Spirit. But some may disagree, say the baptism of the Spirit is something else. I don't want to go in this because there are good writers and good theologians in both sides. But what they all agree, and most agree, is that we have the Spirit of the Lord. And this Spirit should be in us as a guarantee of salvation, as something that enables us to relate with Him, as someone who is going to use us and fill us up and fire us up from time to time. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" My question, is God living in us? If you are born again, He is. And why don't we feel so happy? Why don't we feel so powerful? Why don't we have so much of His touch? Maybe we need His work even deeper today. So imagine the Almighty God, who heavens cannot contain Him, have decided to abide in us corporally and individually. I was talking to a brother, maybe he's going to be listening to me this week. And he's a great brother. He's a very holy, godly man. But for reasons that he has and many others have, he says, "I don't go to church. I love Houston. I love other church. I've been there. There is no much reason, but I prefer stay home." And he says, 24 plus 7, I can listen wonderful messages. And I told him, and I'm still telling him, it is possible. It edifies us. Today we have resources amazingly to make us more wise. But there is something. There is a presence. There is a mystery that only happens when we get together as the body of Christ. And there is a presence that is amongst us. And there is things that can happen only when we get together that we cannot explain. We just know through the Bible that happens. I told this brother, and I tell you too, I am now maybe 35 years believer. I have to make the math, maybe 31, 34. Yeah, 20, 55, okay. You make the math, maybe 34, something like that. If I have missed 5 Sundays in my life, it was too much. Even my vacation, my wife says, "Where you go?" I go to church. "But we are on vacation." I say, "So what?" Not because I'm religious. Because I love to worship and to be with the people of God. And always if I'm away, I want to experience other people. But there are a few things that I'm afraid of, or that I think I'm smart enough. Because I have read church history a lot. And I have heard missionaries telling, I was in that place half an hour before the Holy Spirit poured out and started that revival that we read in the history. And I'm thinking, man, that must be a very horrible experience. You could have been there. You were so close. Maybe you were in the service. And then you said, it's too late. This preacher never stopped speaking. Better to go home. And this man was a doctor, one of the most influential missionaries in Brazil, Dr. Shedd, Philip Shedd, an American trained in Scotland who became a missionary in Brazil, one of the best. People thought he's an angel because he lived 80 or 90 years and he never changed. This is not a man, it's an angel. But he told me this experience personally in my home. He says, Marcio, I was in the day that the revival came to U.S. And what happened? It was too long. It wasn't university students. Something was happening in that place. And I said, it's too long. I go home. And I went home. Though he was very blessed, full of the Spirit, he says, I wish I was a little longer to experience that. Because the Holy Spirit brings us the power, the action, the seal. He's the one who gives us assurance. He's the one who presents Jesus as Lord and makes Jesus known to our heart. When he seals us, also talks about ownership, legitimacy, and inviolability. In other means, if you have received the Spirit, if we were sealed by the Spirit, there is no fear. There is no loss of salvation because you don't belong to yourself. Ephesians 1:13 says this, and you also were included. You who? The Gentiles. He's not talking now to the Jewish, though they have it in background. But you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit in guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. Dr. David Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a very well-educated surgeon, he worked for 4 or 5 years for the King of England. He was very traditional in one way, classic in his church. But he said this, it seems abundantly clear from the New Testament and from the long history of Christian church that there is nothing which is so essential from this standpoint of Christian witness and testimony as this experience of sealing. Do you believe that? Are you aware of that? That if you have the Spirit, you are sealed by the Spirit? And there is nothing more powerful, strengthening, needed, efficient as it to witness and to give testimony about him. Nothing is so essential as this experience, he says, experience of sealing. This seal for a task. Do we have that? The same preacher and theologian, Lloyd-Jones, or preacher, he says that he seldom agreed to preach live on television. And he explains, in other words, he believed that the preacher should be free to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit concerning the length of time. He says, how can I go in a television who gives me 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, if the Spirit wants me to use for long hours? But one day he was with the reporter asking him, so he recorded that once asked a television executive who wanted him to preach on television, he asked this, what would happen to your programs if the Holy Spirit suddenly descended upon the preacher and possessed him? What would happen to your programs. In other words, the Holy Spirit, who is God, who is present, He's alive, He's active, and He can be coming to us in a special way. Do we see the Holy Spirit as a vivid way who seals, who abides, who has an intimate relationship with us? So we first learn that the Holy Spirit convinces us about our sin, original sin and daily life sin. And then we just saw that He lives in us. He abides in us, in a born-again Christian, and to those who want to live a life that pleases God. And thirdly and finally, the Holy Spirit came to fill us, to empower us, in order to help us to win the battle against sin, flesh, world, and witness, help us to witness efficiently. Acts 1:8 was one of the first texts God called my attention to be what I am today. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Are we aware of it? It's the Holy Spirit, but now we have an action, the power of the Holy Spirit. The power that you receive that comes from the Holy Spirit. There is a power who enables us to speak about Jesus. So if we don't be fed and be filled by the Spirit, we have no power to witness. We have nothing to say, though we should have. But we need the Spirit and to be filled with the power. Ephesians 5 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Be filled. This is an imperative. This is a command. And then I ask ourselves, are we filled? Are we asking to be filled? Are we praying enough, fasting enough, be away from something in order to be filled by the Spirit of God? Is speaking to one another with psalms? Is that what we speak with others? Be filled with the Spirit. Speak with one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from our heart to the Lord. Why do we need to be filled? Interesting, because this question was asked by Mood, the evangelist, very powerful revivalist. Though he was not as intelligent, as educated as most of his contemporary, he was used by God mightily, powerfully. Once he was asked why he needed to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit, he replied saying this, "Because I have a leak." Don't we? Because we have a leak, don't we? Yes! Things don't go well home. Things happen. I heard a friend who had back bugs this week. I called the other to have an idea what to do. So the wife was crying a lot. The husband was crying a lot. The family was disturbed. I remember one, I won't say the name because so, you know, not right. But I remember once a family I have here, wonderful couple. The wife was crying. And then says, "What's going on?" She says, "Oh, my apartment's full of bad bugs and my kids have been beaten and we don't know what to do." It's stress. We don't need to be empty of the Spirit because of that, but maybe we do. Bills to pay. Threatening of the job. Kids are not going the right way. There are a lot of things that drains us. We have a leak. So we need to pray. We need the Holy Spirit more. Because if He's constantly poured out, maybe the leak can be there, but He still makes us full. Billy Graham, in his book, The Holy Spirit, writes that in his own life, there had been times when he had also had the same sense of being filled with the Spirit. He was already Christian. He was already a successful evangelist and pastor. He had already brought hundreds of thousands to Christ. But he says, "I was or have been filled with the Spirit, knowing that some special strength was added for some task that he was called to perform. But one day, he was sailing to England for a crusade of 3 months in 1954. He says, "While on ship, I experienced a definitive sense of oppression. Satan seemed to have assembled a formidable array of his artillery against me. I was overtaken by a sense of depression," Billy Graham, "accompanied by a frightening feeling of inadequacy for the task that lay ahead." He says, "Almost night and day I prayed." So it wasn't just, "Oh God, fill me with your spirit." Night and day he prayed for a few days. Then one day, in a prayer meeting with his wife and colleagues, a break came. "And as I wept," he says, "before the Lord, I was filled with deep assurance that the power belonged to God and he was faithful. I believe God gave me a special anointing on the way to England. From that moment on, I was confident that God, the Holy Spirit, was in control of the task of the 1954 crusade in London." That proved true. It's his book, Holy Spirit, page 102. And that happened, he says, so many other times. Have we had that? Are we looking for that? Being full and filled? In the Pentecost, they were together. They were baptized with the Spirit. They were filled by the Spirit. But the same one were filled in chapter 4, in chapter 5, in chapter 8. So, wasn't only the Pentecost. Okay, maybe the ones who were not there on chapter 4, they showed up and now they are getting. No, the same ones. As they get together, chapter 4, the same ones who were in the Pentecost day, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. One of the proofs of being filled is that the Holy Spirit came to glorify Christ Jesus. That's what they did, and that's why our test should be. "When the Helper comes, who I sent to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." In John 7, 38 says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures say, out of his interior shall rivers of jellyfish flow." I trust what is written in the Bible, because jellyfish for me means nothing. But in my Bible means differently. So that sounds good? Okay, I hope it's something good. Jellyfish, I don't know what jellyfish is, but rivers will flow. You'll be alive. Jesus came to give us full life, abundant life, a source of continuous and invigorating joy within us, to give us life of power. When we are suffering, when we are distressed, when we are ready to give up, the Holy Spirit says, as we read before in Romans 8, 26, "He will watch us our weakness, he will relieve our heavy load, cover with his grace, and flood with a peace that the comfort will be with us, sent by Jesus." And he will give us power to give us a life that is victorious and not defeated life. The same power that raised Jesus from the death, the resurrected power. Even Jesus needed this power of the Holy Spirit for his ministry. He fasted and prayed for 40 days. And he was led by the Holy Spirit to the desert to be tempted. But he needed a spirit before. Jesus only began his ministry after being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we saw that as a symbol, as a dove. after the baptism of water by John the Baptist. It was the power of the Spirit that Jesus delivered the oppressed from the devil, healed the sick, raised the dead, gave new life to the spiritual dead. Who was Jesus? Through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So you and I needed this power, this seal, this anointing to reproduce his task, to reproduce in our kids. If you want our kids to be full of the Spirit in their young age, we need to be their model. And the same Spirit that Jesus had, we also have. He lives in us. And God has already started a good work. Have you been filled? Have you? We have to understand those things to seek for that. We have to submit to Him to be filled for that. Are we ready? Concluding. We were told that the Holy Spirit convinces us about sin, judgment, and righteousness. Without His work of convincing us, we will be defeated and we will be immoral. We also were told that He lives in us, He abides in us, and He gives us power for the gospel and against our enemies. We just saw some texts to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and in order, as such, we need Him to do it. And if we don't get filled, actually we are sinning against Him. How is our spiritual journey? How happy are you with your spiritual life? Have we been able to win the battle against sin, our sinful nature, the world, and the devil? And I tell you, it's not easy. But with the work and the help of the Holy Spirit, we can spend time with family, we can spend time serving, we can spend time worshiping, we can help others and not only stay home, sitting in a comfort zone in our chair, watching sport. How successful are we in presenting the gospel? Interesting. The same mood that I mentioned before, who was not a philosopher and not in any way a great intelligent, he writes, and he was successful in Chicago already. He says, I began to cry as never before. The hunger for this increase. I really felt that I did not want to live any longer if I could not have the power for service. So he was not happy about his life. I kept on crying all the time, that God would fill me with His Spirit. Well, one day, in the city of Newark, on what a day, I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred to an experience to name. He didn't know how to say that. I can only say that God revealed Himself to me, and in I had such an experience of His love that I had to ask Him to stay His hand. It's too much. Stop it. When we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, it's not only a command, it's an experience, you know it. The apostles and others who were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and others' day, they were radiant. People thought they were drunk. So something happened. People, you know this, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. They were taken up above and beyond themselves. They spoke with an amazing authority and assurance, and all who saw and heard them were amazed and asked, what that means? So the Holy Spirit brings us close to Jesus, revealing Him, make us more sensitive, aware of Him. When I was finishing my prep the other day, finishing, typing. I have 9 pages. That's the way I do. God bless me there, and then I bring here, hoping that He bless here too. When I was finishing my prayer, I heard a cry. Actually, I heard someone sobbing. I thought it was my cell phone on the computer, but it wasn't. So I opened the door of the office. I went down, and I went towards Delaney, and then she was in the sink like this, cupping her mouth. And I came behind her, says, "Are you crying?" She said, "Yeah, how do you know?" "I heard." "No, it's not possible." So anyway, let's not make this long story, let's make short. Says, "Well, maybe God heard. Maybe he made your sound louder. Maybe I heard you. Doesn't matter. But one thing I felt that normally I don't." And I was prepping my sermon, and she knew that. "I just came here to support you, to care for you, to say God loves you, and he's with you." So the most amazing was not I heard the cry. Maybe I heard her. Maybe he heard. Definitely, he heard. And he wants her to know that he sees everything. She told me, "I feel sometimes like Hagar, forgotten, dismissed, kick it out, go away." But one day, Hagar was blessed by God, and the way she describes her blessing of God is she has a word in Hebrew, but only means that God knows, God hears, and God sees us. Even in my prep, I experienced something different that I've never experienced in this way. As husband, you don't. Sorry, guys. I don't, but he does. And when he does, and that has happened other times in this way, he moves our hearts towards an action. Let us be open to the Holy Spirit and the work of God in our heart. If we are looking for our spiritual richness, this is one way to have that. May God bless you and enrich you in your soul and your spirit. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, there are so much I'd like to share or to say. But maybe I have said a lot already. Definitely there were things I didn't say I should have said. Probably even by talking I sinned. I ask your forgiveness. But would you be with us? Would you make these verses we've read and heard true in our lives? Would you help us not to be a saved Christian, but accommodated, quiet, afraid of, living a loser life? But would you help us to be refreshed, to be visited again, to have your spirit in a bigger portion in our lives, to help us our life to be inspiring for others, impacting other lives, witnessing first for our wives and husbands, for our kids or siblings, friends and roommates and friends from work. Would you help us to be a great witness in our neighborhood as Christians full of your spirit? Would you help us to see this generation that you are bringing up and teaching them to be full of the Spirit? Would you be with the cross trainers and all many Christian camps that are putting so much in those kids for them to be Christian and to be born again and to be full of the Holy Spirit? Would you be with Tamara again and Aismi as she keeps suffering from these seizures and other things? Would you help us at church to be more boldly and prophetically and powerfully, that we can minister one another, speak with one another in songs and hymns and making songs and praise and prayer. Maybe we should pray and fast as well. Maybe this place can be shaken the time that we get together before you. Would you do that, Lord? This is my prayer. This is our intercession. In the name of Jesus, amen.